We're still on Community Connections, and I'm talking now to Harrison. Harrison has written a book called Sunshine for Your Heart. We're going to find out a bit about the book and, I guess, why he wrote it. So, first of all, welcome, Harrison.
Oh, thanks, Alan. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to speak on air.
Not a problem. First of all, tell us a bit about the book.
Well, I'll give you a bit of an overview. It's a book in a nutshell about relationships. Actually, my wife and I wrote it. Her name's Jordan. And you'll see on the cover of it, it's called From Jordan and Harrison. It's a book on, I guess, it's a non-fiction book on relationships, how, and I'll read the back of the book, actually, because it gives it a bit of an overview.
Sounds good.
We decided to write this book because we saw that there were many needs that needed to be addressed, okay, such as the following. The need for individuals to find out who they really are, the need for society to have a true understanding of what love is, the need for knowledge of how to have a strong relationship, and finally the need for men and women who may have come from a failed relationship to be able to have the courage to try again. Okay, then it says, perhaps though the main reason for us writing the book was to share our story and through our experience, anyone who reads and chooses to apply the same knowledge has helped us will be greatly benefited you. And that's why we call it Sunshine for Your Heart.
So, Harrison, at some stage you decided to sit down and you had a conversation, we're going to write a book. What brought you to that situation? I know what you're saying, that you thought that this was a great idea, but who had the idea and what actually... There had to be a little bud somewhere, and what was that?
Well, both of us had come from... I guess, in a sense, failed marriages,
right.
Which unfortunately didn't work out over, you know,
yep.
the course of a few years. And we met, of course, and we'd been together only a few months or so. And we thought, you know, and I shared with her some of the things in the interim I'd be learning from the time when marriage did fail and it was well and truly over. And it was a time of a few years where I stopped to reassess some of the areas perhaps in my life I might have needed to work on, or how others had helped, how others had maybe be able to have a better way to have a relationship initially, and then it may be a marriage. Some good tips. And so I started doing researching, watching this and reading that, and I started sharing it with her. And she said, yeah, that sounds good. And then she said, look, I've been starting to think of a few thoughts as well, the things I really wanted weren't getting in my past marriage. And she wrote a few things down, and I wrote a few things down, and we're also talking to a few people who are going through some their own traumas, maybe broken marriages and just abusive relationships or whatever. And we sat down and just wrote a title or a question on that particular. Some of the basic subjects, a lot of people sooner or later at one time of life may have been asking themselves or asking the other person. And then I wrote my point of view, and then she wrote her point of view. And oh, funny enough, many times they're all matching anyway, but it was like a male and female point of view.
Yep. Jason, I don't want to intrude on your past lives, because that's not what I'm here to do, but did you find that when you started talking that there were sort of commonalities between what you'd experienced in your ex-marriage and the same with your wife's ex-marriage, or were they completely different lead-ups to the break?
Well, in some ways it's about... There were similarities, such as the communication factor wasn't there, the trust factor wasn't there, the understanding of what really true committed love wasn't there. Even though hers was a little bit more of more of an emotional abuse, mine was more so someone who just wasn't willing to go through the tough times, and a little bit of immaturity there. Plus also I took on some responsibility as well, as in the fact that there are areas I had to work on. I mean, I wasn't ready for certain areas. I maybe had married a bit too young, and I wasn't quite emotionally right, or, you know, even though my first marriage had been like I'd been in the late 20s, there were areas, there was insecurities, there was a few things I needed to work on myself and wasn't ready for some certain marriage crises to hit.
Yep.
And relationship crisis, and her in Jordan's case, she was fine with the maturity, but it was more so, and she was committed, but the partner really wasn't, and I think that was, and what she wanted to give, the return wasn't coming back to her, and it was only really just a one way street. It wasn't that teamwork, that closeness, that intimacy she longed for, and thankfully we found with each other.
So can I just ask you this, and again I don't want to intrude, but no, did you find that there was something common between you and her ex-husband in the fact that you were saying that you felt immature when you went into the marriage? Did he do the same, or was there violence involved which altered the whole thing too?
I think there's both our cases, his case and my case, there was more of a misunderstanding of really what a committed relationship, and I guess in a sense what a true aspect of love was all about. In some ways, when there was, in my case, there wasn't any abuse happening. It was more of a, I guess, my ways to deal with it, and there was some adverse circumstances came in and I didn't quite know how to handle it, but although I was willing to go through it, it was my way of dealing with it. Probably wasn't as good and mature as it could have been. And Jordan's exes, he was probably, the difference was from what I understand anyway, there was just the commitment wasn't there. It was there for a while, but it wasn't the depth and the true love of going through tough times and standing by that person. It was an easier, instead of just finding an easier way out, it was just,
Because one of the things that does happen, isn't it, that very often people marry young and it's more of a romantic love, and, you know, the whole idea of having a home and a family and, oh, that's, you know, and the world's going to be your oyster, doesn't always compute, does it? Because life can be a lot harder than that.
Absolutely. And I look at that, it was a reality check, you know, with me. In my case, my ex-partner now was, I knew she had a few issues, and I thought, well, we'll be fine, but I didn't realise how bad they would be.
Yep.
And yeah, the honeymoon period was fine for a while. Then children came along, and yeah, to a point, there was a lot of changing happening. The feelings of the romantic love was coming and going. It was hanging in air, but the other aspects of love, which we bring about in the book, was lacking. Yeah.
All right, George, Harrison, I've got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more.
A big nice plane in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you. We will rock you. Buddy, you're a young man, hot man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. We will rock you. Sing it out. We will rock you. Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes, gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace, somebody better put your bag into your place.
you're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 21 minutes past 2, 13 degrees. And I'm talking to Harrison, and he's written a book along with his wife Jordan on Sunshine for Your Heart. Harrison, is it a self-help book, or is it more a book that you've written about how you both found love in the with this new marriage, or is it a book where you'd pick it up and say, oh, yeah, I can see all those problems in my marriage. This is how you should fix them.
It's a bit of a mix, actually. It's part of it is where we intermingle some of our own experiences, but we also say to people, ask the question, have you asked, you know, and it brings it back to the reader, as we say. So I guess it's a self-help. Where the reason we bring our own story into it, so people can say, well, you know, they can hopefully people can relate to these are a couple of, you know, I guess everyday people, they've gone through something, or even if people haven't gone through something the same as us, that's why we bring out things that are totally unrelated to past relationships. It's more so just even if you're thinking about having a relationship in general, never been in one, and you don't know where to start, you know, or you're a bit confused about, you know, you're seeing things on the media and you're seeing movies, and well, they may think, well, is that the ideal, you know.
Unfortunately, a lot of people do believe the stuff they see on telly as being the ideal relationship, don't they?
Yeah, that's it. So it's just sweeps away a little bit of the confusion and some of the, maybe in some cases, wrong standards, like the, I guess, the one-night stands and it brings about a committed love and a genuine, it goes beyond the externals, it goes beyond how someone looks even though there is an attraction between people and how they look. Yep. But we talk on the aspect of why many times that can always be not always the best thing to hold on to, because people, as they get older, you know, the looks change. And even unfortunate cases where someone has an accident, you know, they might get a burn in their face or something, you know, you're still going to stand by that person even if they're a little bit disfigured. And the person is still the person that you're originally got a hold of.
Unfortunately, the good looks don't play a lot when you've got a sick child and you're both up at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to comfort that child, do they?
No.
And that is part of life.
Yeah. Exactly it. So, yeah, it's just really going through whatever, the good times, bad times, the yep. richer or the poorer, the better or the worse.
Yep.
And beyond the outward, beyond the externals, and really exploring some heart issues. Really, why am I doing this? What was the reason I was with this person? And what's really keeping us together? Yep. And that's why we're bringing some of those aspects out in chapters, titles.
Yeah. Harrison, how long after your first relationship broke down till you met Jordan?
Okay. In my case, I reckon it was well and truly over by 2006. We met 3 years later, 2009.
Yep.
Hers was, I guess, the official well and truly over was probably about a year or so before we met as well, in her case. So, yeah. So, yeah, she just, it was gone, it was finished. Both of us said, well, we wanted to hang in there as best we can with the previous one. If anything could be salvaged from it, it could be a restoration of some kind. There was just nothing left to restore and everything. Well, we just left alone and thinking, well, then the next question, and should I get involved with someone again?
Yep.
Do I take the risk?
And you could both easily think no, couldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, look, you know, there was always that fear factor. Think, well, you know, yeah, I could, but what if again? Am I willing to go for the pain again? And that's why, and in many cases, a lot of people who hear this and can relate to us say, well, you know, I've gone through some pretty bad, or even a few bad relationships. So am I willing to give it a go? Or have I been just making the wrong choices? Or, you know,
And, of course, unfortunately, some people do make more than one bad choice too, don't they? It could be because of their upbringing or because of something that happened with their parents. Some of them just tend to, unfortunately, make the same sort of mistake a couple of times.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. It's really, and I've seen it. I've seen it with both George and I have seen it with, unfortunately, family members and friends. Mm. We think so. We scratch our heads and say, "Hang on, why did I keep doing that?" And we realize, well, and then we address that as well in the book. Why certain aspects, people, why they tend to do that, you know, and it's a level they've aimed for, or it's an expectation, or even in a sense how they feel about themselves when unconsciously they don't feel like they can do any better.
No. All right, I've got to take a quick break, Harrison, and I'll be back with more. You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 26 minutes to three. The day's kicking on and we're at 13 degrees. We're not going to get warmer than today. And I think if I remember rightly, the top four today was 13. So that's about where we're going, down to five tonight. I'm talking to Harrison. He and his wife, Jordan, have written a book which is called Sunshine for Your Heart. Harrison, you've mentioned a couple of... you said, oh, we've covered that in a chapter, or we've covered that. Can you just give us what the actual chapters are, what you do have covered in the book, please?
Yes. Like the main chapters or just everything?
Well, yeah, the main chapters, so we know what you have actually covered on it.
All right. That I've covered so far or overall?
No. If you open the front of your page of your book, there's different chapters there, isn't there?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. If you could just tell us the titles of those so we get it, and maybe what they cover.
Okay. I'll start with the shaping of society's thinking is how we begin about why a lot of people's erroneous mindset about relationships are, how they can look just on the outward based on what they've grown up with and seen. And then I talk about how we met, where we, the actual location, what year it was and how it was initially between us, which is really good. Question is, we go on to bringing on to some interesting questions. Who are you? Like, what that actually chapter is, it brings home to the person reading and says, who are you really? Who do you see yourself? It brings down to the identity of the person. Because I think we realise if the person realises who they are, they would ask themselves the question, which the next chapter says, are you happy with the path you've chosen? Knowing who you are and what your values are, you're happier in looking back in hindsight about some of your life choices. And is that really who you want to be? And, and then it goes on to, are you being true to yourself? If you're in a relationship, are you true to yourself in this relationship? Are you really being yourself, or are you just going along with, just towing the line, not really having a voice, not really being yourself, feeling you're going to be shut down? Or, and then being a friend. Now, talk about the aspects of friendship, which talks about goes on more than just the Facebook friends scenario, but someone who is a real true friend and what it really is being a friend. And we start with the basics of any true loving relationship. If it continues in that pathway, can start with a strong friendship. And that's, I bring the example about how Jordan and I started off at the basics of a good friendship, strong friendship, and built on from there. And then we bring into now the aspects of deeper subjects, like what does love mean to you? This sweeps away a lot of the confusion about what really love is. Not, it goes beyond that little fluffy feeling or whatever that comes and goes. And then why do we need love? It talks about the physical and the emotional need. Why do we need love? Why were we made to want love? What is it about it if we don't have it compared to what we do when we do have it? Yep. And then it shows, the next one is expressing love. Why did this? To show, firstly, from our experience, how we express it, and it helps people understand, well, there are ways to show it, if they don't know.
Expressing love doesn't necessarily mean just saying to a person you love them. It can be as easy as washing the dishes and helping. It covers a lot of area, doesn't it?
It does. It sure does. And it's that living, that, as you say, love in action, our expressions of love, we talks about how we do it. Love is for all shapes and sizes. This is an important chapter for those who, repeats what was started in the first part of the book about how it doesn't matter how you look or how you feel you look, big, small, tall, even if you don't feel like you look very nice, there's someone out there who's going to see you as attractive to them, and it comes in all shapes and sizes.
Yep.
And we bring in our our example, I mean, we've always come from a biased point of view. We never see ourselves as good looking,
nope.
But the other person does, you know.
and when you talk about good looking, it's not always the looks. It's like the soul can be a good looking too, can't it?
Yeah, that's it. Then you come to soul, mate, the connection. You know, that person, it's got something about that person. You're never sure how you just can have that connection. You had that, oh, there's something about that person I can't keep away from, you know. And then it's that the way, what they stand for, you feel comfortable in that person's presence, you know, and that person makes you feel good about themselves, you know, and the character they stand for and the values. Okay, now, what's the difference we talk about? What's the difference between love and lust? You know, make that very clear. The lust is just a more of a passionate.
And that's how it can start too, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. But then we talk about why the true love then takes control, right? It should take over if it's genuine, and what genuine love is, how it's that more the deeper, stronger thing that doesn't always rely on the lustful feeling or the passion, whatever, you know, that principle that pushes forward and holds on and doesn't give up, and, you know, and then again, it should be about how someone looks. Again, it's repeating a bit and a few more aspects bringing out. Yep. And then closeness, bringing in some closeness, what closeness is being really attached to that other person, putting away all barriers, none of this pretentiousness, like how's the weather sort of conversation, but really deep in, you know, heart-to-heart stuff, you know, and then you're really intimacy with each other. What is passion? You know, passion we just talked about, more of a, there's that sexual passion, of course, but there's also just that powerful, I guess, drive that keeps you together. And it can be also, unfortunately, it can go wrong. It can lead someone down the wrong way if they're holding on to a wrong passion, like an anger passion, you know. Feelings show the difference. Our feelings are good, but they shouldn't always be relied upon, but they are still there, and you can really enhance each other's well-being with your feelings. And then what is intimacy? It goes more beyond just the physical time together, but that heart, that emotional, that soul connection, which, you know, where there's just, and I bring a few aspects about why, what it is and what we have and how it is possible, but it can take time. And then it brings in, again, repeats how over a period of time, just spending time together and making the time. This is important, making the time.
Agree with that.
Relationship.
I've got to take another break and we'll be back with more.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You studied so hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring, goes the bell. The touch of my mouth, you said it's there.
is there, body and soul.
And that was Chuck Berry and School Days. And, of course, as I said, I'll be here on Sunday between 12 and 3 and 6 and 8 playing some good old rock and roll music. Also next Wednesday between 12 and 3, I've got Siri coming in for an hour. We've got Cindy McLeish coming in to tell us what's been going on in the area. And, of course, she'll be back from her track up there on the Kokoda Trail. Be interested to hear all about that. And I've got a person coming in between 2 and 3 to talking all about positivity. So it's going to be a great show, so I'd love to have you along. But I'm talking to Harrison. We're talking about his book, Sunshine From Your Heart. Harrison, can you just run us through a few more of those chapters you cover, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Then there's in the second half of the book, the second half of the book, we're covering some aspects which begins with, is marriage the same as now as it was in the past? Now, it's a good question for a lot of people to think about, you know, whether comparing the old, quite a few years ago when it was more of a absolute, there was an absolute, people really believed what they said when they did the marriage vows and they hung by each other. You see all the older folk and more recent. But now, not so much, and it explains why and how it can, a lot of these things can be brought back, the true aspects of it, and then covers some things which absolutely can happen far too often, as why do partners stray, and can true love exist if one partner wants to stray the other? And that's an absolute, we showed definitely no, but unfortunately these things do happen. A lot of people who hear this, and also if they decide to get a copy of the book, they realise, yeah, I can. They may have come through some hurtful experiences like that. And the question is, as I said before, why do some women seem to attract selfish and abusive men into their lives? Like I said, one after the other, one a partner after the other. I know some people that are just like, you know, there's like wrong choices, and explain why that happens. You know, and it's but there is a way out of it when they see that they don't have to. And from there, of course, a chapter called Standing Tall and Moving Forward, a really positive aspect for those who perhaps may have come through some pretty abusive experiences, and how you don't have to, of course, you stay in it, but also how you can build up and see yourself as worthy of someone who is caring for you. And then covering the common aspect today of internet relationships, the pros and cons, of course, and why are we together? And what keeps us together, and what tears us apart? These are things that are actually more so questions people ask themselves. What are the certain things that you love about each other and you actually keeps you close? And what's the other things that actually you really get either annoyed or could potentially pull you apart? And then, of course, the need for affection again repeats in a way why the importance of showing that intimacy. We show our sign, the ways we show it. And then we bring things like the time together. This is one of the love languages, which is one that we talked before about doing something like washing dishes. And that's a service and act of love. Also having time, just sitting there with each other. Perhaps even not on phones, not watching the TV, but just sitting there talking and spending that time together.
And mobile phones have a lot to answer for that, don't they? You see them at restaurant and both texting other people and doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that's so true. It's crazy, you know. So different from what it was before the mobile phones, where people just suggested look at each other and talk, spending time with each other, the importance of that, you know, building that. And not, like I said, not on phones, not, you know. I mean, Jordan and I, if we have our phones, I'll give you an example. We're usually on them for different reasons and different. But when we're sitting there talking to each other, we're not on it to distract or a message might come through. And we're there with each other. Who's this? Oh yeah, no. And we talk about what it was about, or it involves maybe something to do with someone's on. Send a message. And we know the message, and you know, it's maybe an appointment's come available or something if she needs to have a doctor's appointment. But it's still inclusive with each other. But I guess the main aspects, you don't do it like in a rude way. You just, you know, you're trying to have a conversation. The person just, hang on, I've got to answer this question, you know, and it keeps interrupting. You know?
Or they don't even do that. They just answer it.
Yeah, that's it. I've seen that before too.
Yep.
And then winding up their book, it's we again refocus on our relationship, how a man can help a woman feel good about herself, Jordan's view on men, Harrison's view on women, our thoughts, and then we wind up with a little conclusion on the whole aspects of the book, and just gives the people at the end a bit of a little word of encouragement, you know. So, yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell.
All right. Well, I guess the question we've got to ask next, where can people get hold of this book?
Okay. Now, these days a lot of books are available. You don't see them always in bookshops, but these are on order them through online bookstores, which is pretty well the case with Sunshine for Your Heart.
Yep.
Different ones you can get through is Amazon, Collins Bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Booktopia, and Angus & Robertson. And just if there's any others, I know there are, just Google the book title, which is Sunshine for Your Heart by Jordan and Harrison, and other ones may come up. And another aspect to remember as well is that it's not just available on paperback, but it's also on ebook form. So,
And a lot do that. And I must say, I was talking to somebody in the first hour today, and I've got a daughter who loves books, and she won't go online, or she'll order them online. But she says, "Dad, you've got to feel the pages go as you turn them over."
Yes. Oh, that's so true. That's so true. Yeah, it's something, nothing better than just having a book just in your hands, and and also in my case, I like to mark books as well.
Particularly when they're a new book, you can just feel they've got a feeling of their own. Look, yes. Harrison, unfortunately, we're fast coming to an end. I've got to be out of the studio because Greg will be along very soon with Have a Little Faith. As I said, I'll be back next Wednesday between 12 and 3 with three great interviews coming up, and also I'll be back on Sunday. But look, Harrison, I wish you and Jordan well. You said that she's got a doctor's appointment. I hope she's all right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Oh, I think I was using it as an example, when we're on the phone, if she needs an appointment, yeah. No, she's good. She's very good.
Good. Well, look, I'm glad that the two of you found each other, because it can be a lonely life, if not. Yeah. And the other problem that you've got, if people aren't happy, no one's ever convinced me yet that people are coming back a second time. So you need to be happy in the twilight. Well, not so much in the twilight, but I think everyone's entitled to have some happiness. So I'm glad the two of you have found happiness yourselves, maybe in a roundabout way, having started off in other relationships. But hey, as long as you finish up together, that's the main thing.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's been really good. We're both very thankful that it's happened out this way, you know. So
it can be a lonely life, if particularly as you get a bit older. When I've just had a friend of mine pass away, and I was just thinking about his and that was a different scenario, but his wife's she's going to be by herself now for a long while, but anyway, we're not here, but thank you for your time, Harrison, and I hope the book's a real success, and I hope today us talking about it, well, people, if they can relate to this in their lives, that they should get a hold of a copy of it and read all about it. It might save them a lot of heartache. Sunshine for Your Heart, and by Jordan and Harrison. Has that covered it all?
Yeah, that's perfect. No worries. No, thank you. And it's been a great opportunity to write it, and hopefully, whoever decides to get it can be really, it'll help them a lot, and just answer a lot of questions and help prepare them for. Right. Making easy choices.
I have to go. Thanks, Harrison, for your time.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.